The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall be reading to you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. If you have any questions or would like to become a sponsor of this program or any of our other programs, please contact our office at 919-832-5138. Okay, let's go to We Found a Fix from the Reader's Digest. 9 Tricks to Improve Your Life. And there's a picture of a gray cat hanging over the counter looking at you with its yellow eyes. And the number one fix is stop early meows. Pets. With the longer days and the birds and squirrels up and at him at the crack of dawn, your kitty is likely an early riser now. Should you feed him when he meows? No. That would just encourage his untimely entreaties. Instead, install blackout shades or blinds to block the sun. Then stick to strict feeding times once before you leave in the morning and once shortly before you go to bed. Wish it was that easy. Number 2. Keep fruits and veggies fresh. Foods. Most refrigerators have a crisper drawers with adjustable vents that you could close to reduce airflow and create more humidity, or open to lower the humidity. The best way to extend the life of your fruits and vegetables is to set one drawer at low humidity and use it for anything that rots easily, such as peaches, avocados, and melons. Set the other drawer at high humidity to store the thin-skinned or leafy vegetables, such as asparagus, lettuce, fresh herbs. Number 3. Let your computer breathe. Technology. Don't put your computer on the carpet or up against the wall, warns Ben Carmichael, CFO of DataRecovery.com. Doing so can cause heat to build up, and if it can't dissipate, it can damage the hard drive and other components. Number 4. Improvise a corkscrew. Entertaining. There are few things in life more frustrating than finding yourself with a nice bottle of wine to drink, but no corkscrew. The next time that happens, take out your house keys and drive one of them into the cork at a 45-degree angle until it is all the way in. Slowly twist the key around and up until you are able to get the grip on the cork and pull it out. Cheers. I actually have a plastic corkscrew in my glove compartment. Isn't that terrible? Number 5. Stop a radiator leak. Auto. A heat wave has hit town and your old car radiator isn't too happy about it. If it suddenly overheats and you think the cause is a pinhole leak, pepper can provide a short-term fix. Simply pour a handful of ground pepper into the radiator. This will temporarily plug the leak and likely won't cause any damage to your car until you can get it to a mechanic for repair. Number 6. Take a photo of your passport. It may be your most important document, but travel blogger Suzanne Volko advises against carrying your passport every day while you're traveling. I take a photo of my passport and keep it in my email draft folder so I can access if needed, she explains. When shopping and filling out tax reclaim forms, I've used the photo in stores without an issue. Make a colorful arrangement, decorating. And there's a picture of daffodils in a vase with all kinds of different colored buttons. To create a neat look for your bouquets, fill the bottom of a large vase with buttons. Then place a narrower vase inside, add more buttons to fill the space between the two vases. Finally, fill the smaller vessel with water and arrange your flowers inside. Number 8. Take a midweek break. Health. Summer may have you dreaming of long weekends, but researchers have found that the best day to take off is actually a Wednesday. It interrupts the forced rhythm of the 9-to-5 work week, giving you an extra opportunity to sleep and wake naturally, which is healthier. Number 9. Fix a sweat stain. Those unlikely yellow stains that show up on the underarms of your shirts are pretty easy to remove. You can crush 2 aspirin and mix the powder into a half a cup of warm water. Then soak the spot in the solution for a few hours. Or combine equal amounts of lemon juice and water, then scrub. You can also mix 1 part dish soap and 2 parts hydrogen peroxide. Then scrub the discoloration and let it sit for an hour. Finally, launder as usual. Now a little humor in uniform, and there's a cartoon of 2 gentlemen standing next to a man's garage, and parked in the lawn next to him is an Abrams tank. And the comment is, good defense makes good neighbors. This is humor in uniform. A family friend was working at a gym at a naval base. To use the equipment, service members had to sign in with their names and rank. One time, an older gentleman wrote his rank as RA. Suspicious, our friend said, ahem, You look a little old to be a radio man's assistant. The gentleman bowed slightly before explaining. That's Rear Admiral. My father was surfing at a port city in the post-World War II Germany when a ship laden with GIs docked. As the soldiers disembarked, they started to jeer and boo. The reason? The local band hired to greet them was playing a popular hit of the time. I wonder who's kissing her now. And then we go to A Life Well Lived. And it's a picture of two elderly people, a woman with slightly crossed eyes and it looks like fairly large glasses, and an older gentleman, slightly balding, and he's wearing glasses as well. And the title of the article is My Dad's Greatest Lesson. Comedian Jay Leno knew that his father had heart, but one woman's memory revealed just how big that heart was. I had very good parents. My mother came to this country from Scotland by herself when she was 11, and she didn't have much of an education. My dad was kind of a street kid, and he eventually went into the insurance business, selling nickel policies door to door. It was the 1930s, a time when America was a lot more racist and segregated than it is now. One day my dad asked his boss, "What's the toughest market to sell?" And the insurance guy replied, "Well, black people. They don't buy insurance." My dad thought, "But they have kids. They have families. Why wouldn't they buy insurance?" So he said, "Give me Harlem." He took the Harlem territory and sold nickel policies every Friday. He would go around and collect the nickel and give his customers a receipt on the policy. When my dad died in 1994, I talked about him on The Tonight Show. I told the story of how he worked in Harlem and how he always taught us to be open-minded and not to say or think racist things. Then one day I got a letter from a woman who was about 75 years old. She wrote that when she was a little girl, a man used to come to her house to collect on policies, and he was always bring her a lollipop. She said this man was the only white person who ever had come to dinner at their house, and the only white person she had ever had dinner with, period, until she got to be almost an adult. The man was very kind to her, she said, and his name was Angelo. Was this my father? The letter made me cry. I called her up and said yes. That was, in fact, my dad. And she told me how kind he had been to her family. Her whole attitude towards white people was based on that one nice man she met in her childhood, who always treated her with kindness and respect, and always gave her a piece of candy, and asked her what she wanted to be when she grew up. From this experience, I learned a valuable life lesson. Never judge people, and to be open-minded and kind to others. I am the food on your plate. And there's a picture of oats. In this case, it's popped oats. How a weed grew into a health hero. Oatmeal. Oats, a grain in which in England is generally given to horses, but in Scotland supports the people. A Dictionary of the English Language by Samuel Johnson, 1755. That, if you can believe it, is how venerable Dr. Johnson and what was the language's guiding reference until the appearance of the Oxford English Dictionary 173 years later chose to define me. Me, ouch. But that was then, when Scotland was indeed among the only places where humans fed on me. Thankfully for me, and for your cholesterol ratios, I've come a long way in the 264 years since, and the famed Englishman's dig at both me and the Scots now looks as foolish as his word for a burp of undigested meat. For the record, the word is nidosterosity. It has been a wild ride, and from the inauspicious roots, I began as a seed that grew in pods at the top of towering 5-foot-tall weeds called green oat grasses, which littered the wheat and barley fields of yore. About a century after Johnson's dis, a German emigrant grocer in Akron, Ohio, by the name of Ferdinand Schumacher, realized, long after the Scots had, that once removed from any hull, chopped, and cooked, I made a fine cereal. To process me, he figured out how to steam and roll me flat so that I could be cooked more quickly. Then he experimented with selling me in his small store. At first, shoppers were resistant. But when the Civil War broke out and the Union started buying me to feed its soldiers, demand went crazy. My reputation as an affordable, healthy, stick-to-your-ribs food for humans took hold. Schumacher, who came to be called the Oatmeal King, founded the German Mills American Cereal Company to barely keep up with the demand, and suddenly this wheat became a very valuable crop. In 1877, the U.S. Patent Office received a request for the first trademarked breakfast cereal, represented by a figure of a man in a Quaker garb, chosen according to the odors at the time, to signify honesty and good quality. That new brand, Quaker Oats, would eventually merge with Schumacher's company to become the American behemoth that today can process up to 3.6 million pounds of little old me every day. Any shopper knows my familiar verses by name, but it's a rare consumer who can describe the somewhat confusing differences among them. I will do the honors. When my grains are steamed and rolled into flakes that cook up in a few minutes on the stove, the contents of that ionic canister at Quaker Old Fashioned, I am rolled oats. Instant oatmeal, meanwhile, is made of extra small bits of quick oats, which are rolled oats that have been steamed and flattened further for a faster cooking speed. To produce the chewier steel-cut product, simply chop me into small, cookable pieces with blades or grinding stones, sans the steaming and rolling. Finally, in all my forms, the British call me porridge, while what they call oatmeal is in fact coarsely ground-out flour. As I said, confusing. Likewise, the myriad ways I can be served back in the United Kingdom, I'm thought of as a savory meal, traditionally prepared with just water, salt, and a little cream or butter, or in Ireland, brown sugar. In the United States, particularly, I satisfy both your healthy and unhealthy urges. Healthy, in any form, I contain an impotent type fiber, an important type of fiber called beta-glucan, to which some of my cholesterol-lowering powers have been attributed. Heart doctors prefer me steel-cut, since that way I'm slower to digest and don't spike your blood sugar, and I'm even more likely to lower your cholesterol. You'll find my steel-cut grains sold by Bob's Red Mill, Quaker, and McCann's. Less healthy Americans have desertified me via sugary versions filled with maple syrup and the like that put me in a class with the rest of your sweet breakfast foods. The best way to get a perfect bowl of me has been the subject of a 25-year experiment out of the land of my most loyal eaters. In 1994, the 600-person Scottish village of Carbridge arranged a competition among cooks in hopes of bringing their tiny town to some visitors. Contestants were given 30 minutes to make the best steel-cut oats they could, using nothing more than me and some salt and water. The event was a hit and became, of all things, the World Porridge Making Championship. Now, attended by the oatmeal champions of the United States, Russia, Finland, and more, all vying for the now-famous Golden Spurtle Award. You may have read about it on your bag at Bob's Red Mill Oatmeal. Bob himself was a winner. You would think there couldn't possibly be many ways to cook a simple grain, but the contest reveals that I have a remarkable range. From chewy to juicy to tender, from nutty to carby, it all depends on the qualities of each ingredient, the water, and the cook's predilections. And yet one judge reveals that the winners have methods in common. They slowly stirred their oatmeal for the full 30 minutes of the competition, making it velvety. They all boiled me down until I was thick and smooth, finding that my best cell has a pourable consistency. Essentially, I should not stick to the spoon, or rather the spurtle. Yes, that's the kitchen tool invented solely for stirring me. Pretty much a straight stick and nothing more, but I still delight in its very existence. Dr. Johnson may not have been my popularity naming, but I appreciate all signs of how beloved I've become. In cities here and in Europe, there are restaurants where you can order me with the toppings of your choice. Imagine that. I'm now the headlining ingredient in modern-day eateries, despite having started as a meal fit only for horses. Apple Cinnamon Overnight Oats. Combine the following in a mason jar or other small container. Half a cup of oats, half a medium-sized Gala or Honeycrisp apple, chopped, tablespoon of raisins, and 1 cup of 2% milk. Add a dash of salt and 1/4 teaspoon of ground cinnamon. Seal container and refrigerate overnight. Ooh, that sounds good. Broke detector. I'm well prepared for a cashless society. Having kids already has me there. News from the world of medicine after that healthy piece on oats. Night owls are more likely to get type 2 diabetes. In a review of 17 studies with the data from more than 465,000 people, researchers found that night owls have an increased risk of heart disease and type 2 diabetes compared with early risers. Why? Individuals who went to bed later tended to consume more alcohol, sugar, and caffeine. Also, eating later in the day causes glucose level to spike in the evening, which could have an impact on the body's natural metabolism. Scientists wipe out disease-carrying mosquitoes. Although the majority of mosquitoes don't spread diseases, the three most deadly types, Aedes, Anopheles, and Culex, live on almost every continent and are responsible for transmitting approximately 17% of the infectious diseases around the world, according to Commonwealth Scientific and Industrial Research Organization. In an experiment with global implications, scientists released more than 3 million sterile male Aedes aegypti mosquitoes in three tropical towns in northern Australia. The sterile males mated with wild females, and more than 80% of the entire population was eventually wiped out. Oranges ward off macular degeneration. An orange a day might keep macular degeneration away, according to the study of more than 2,000 adults aged 49 and older. The Westmorehead Institute for Medical Research in Australia, we seem to be doing a lot of Australia today, which conducted the study, found that people who ate an orange daily reduced their risk of acquiring this age-related visual impairment by up to 60%. In addition to vitamin C, oranges have flavonoids, which might explain the effect. These compounds prevent oxidative stress and reduce inflammation in the body. Detecting face medicine. Engineers in the University of California, Riverside, have built an unusual sensor that can distinguish between real and fake medications, at least those that come in liquid form. The device, inspired by the traditional African thumb piano called an Mibra, it is based on a simple premise. Metal containers filled with liquids of different densities will produce different sounds when they're struck or plucked. In this case, the researchers filled metal tubes with glycosol, a syrup used in cold and flu medicine, and diophylline, glycol, a clear liquid often used in counterfeit medicine. A simple tap on each tube created the telltale notes. Training for surgery. Surgery is tough on the body. Even minor procedures carry the risk of complications such as shock or infection. Besides choosing an experienced surgeon, recent research suggests that training for surgery may be the best way to avoid these issues and recover faster. You wouldn't run a race without preparing, says Michael Inglesby, MD, a transplant surgeon who started a preoperative program at the University of Michigan. An operation is as physiologically hard as running a 5K, he says. The program, which includes an hour a day of walking, helped reduce the length of hospital stays by 31%. Similar programs at other therapies. Together, they offer tips for starting your own regimen 2 to 6 weeks before surgery. Number one, read up on your procedure to help mentally prepare for what recovery will be like. Number two, learn relaxation techniques such as prayer, meditation, to cope with any pain, stress, or depression you might have. Number three, breathe in through your nose more deeply. Hold for 5 to 10 seconds, then let your breath out slowly through your mouth. Do this several times a day to prevent respiratory issues such as partial lung collapse. If you smoke, quit before surgery, even if it's only for a few weeks. Number four, if you're not exercising daily, walk at least a few minutes every day. Number five, being dehydrated or malnourished increases the chance of delirium. Drink plenty of water and eat nutritiously. New blood test for melanoma. Melanoma is the most lethal skin cancer, responsible for more than 7,200 deaths each year. Early diagnosis is key to improving survival rates, but not many people fail to check their skin on a regular basis or have a doctor do so. Now researchers have developed a blood test to detect melanoma in its early stages. In a study of 245 people, the new test identified those with melanoma with 79% accuracy and those without the cancer with 84% accuracy. The multiple groups worldwide are working to develop a blood test that can detect a range of cancers. If and when the melanoma test is approved for use, it will be one of the first and could eliminate the need for a dermatologist visit to diagnose the disease. Everyday Miracles. The Baby Who Was Meant to Be Ours by Sarah Maracuede. When my best friend Colleen was 38 weeks pregnant, she added me to go to her with Babies R Us, one of the only children's shop in Anchorage, Alaska. She found out she was expecting around the time I found I would never give birth. I was only 29, but doctors said that I had too many medical challenges to conceive, let alone carry a child to term. Focus on Colleen's good fortune helped distract me from my own grief. I hosted her baby shower and sewed bedding and curtains for her son's nursery. Now the only thing she needed was a changing table, which is what we had come to buy. As we headed for the furniture section, a gray and white striped onesie caught my eye. The red crab sewn on the backside smiled with bright eyes, suggesting it had a secret. Maybe it triggered memories from my childhood, digging for crabs in the Gulf of Mexico's sands, eating them on the docks of Baltimore with my family, pretending I was Ariel from The Little Mermaid. If things were different, that onesie would have made me laugh. Instead, I said, if I ever have a son, I want him to have that. Colleen stopped, grasped me her wrist as if I would stop too. Sarah, you have to get it, she said. I shook my head no. I didn't want a reminder of what I couldn't have. Of course, my husband John and I had talked about adoption, but I worried that the process would only lead to more rejection. That night, I told John about the outfit. Maybe you should have gotten it, he said, pulling me close. I told him no. The next Sunday, John and I went to church for the second time in more than a decade. In a city where people tend to come and go, we ached for connection and figured that the church, which had a reputation for being accepting, might offer that. As we walked in, I noticed a tiny baby nestled in the arms of a woman with white hair tied back in a bun. His head rested on her shoulder, and on his backside was the same red crab I'd seen just 8 days before. My breath caught. I turned to John and whispered, "That's the outfit I was telling you about." He cocked his eyebrows. Throughout his service, I was transfixed by the infant with the fine blonde hair sticking straight up from his head. I longed to hold him. I tried to distract myself by looking at the bright horizon over the snowy mountains. At the end of the service, the reverend stood to make announcements. The white-haired woman walked up beside him, holding the infant. "Most of you know this woman, and many of you know her daughter's situation," she said. "What you may not know is that this baby needs a home, and he needs it by Thursday." I was afraid to make a sound. The reverend continued, "If you or anyone you know is thinking about adoption, please see us after the service." I felt a hand on my lap and looked at John. He had tears in his eyes, too. "Are you thinking what I'm thinking?" he whispered. We picked up our coats and, with our fingers interlaced, walked to the area where the group of people had congregated around the woman and the baby. The grandmother beckoned us forward, and I saw the child's face for the first time, round with almond-shaped eyes and full lips. John was brave enough to hold him, but I was not. She took our phone numbers, saying the family would follow up. That evening they came to our home. The grandmother entered with an air of confident grace, but the young mother, carrying her baby, struggled to look in her eyes. I didn't know her, but I wanted to hug her. We sat in our living room with a plate of cookies and a cup of coffee. Before we sat down, the mother asked whether I would like to hold her baby. This time I said yes. He fit perfectly in my arms. Over the next hour, we learned that he was 4 weeks old, and that 12 families had volunteered to adopt him. The mother shared that she had many challenges that prevented her from parenting. Rather than letting her son become a ward of the state, she was choosing to relinquish her parental rights to the best family. If she picked us, all she asked was that he let her be involved in his life in some way. We agreed wholeheartedly. I never mentioned the crab onesie. I wanted her to make her decisions without being influenced by that coincidence. When they stood to leave, I passed her baby back to her, and John and I waved goodbye as they walked to their car. Then we turned toward each other, embracing silently. The next morning, as I brushed my teeth, my phone rang. "We picked you," was all I heard. 2 days later, the baby moved into our home. After 6 months, our adoptive was finally realized. Our six-year-old son continues to be the best unexpected thing that has ever happened to me. And that crab onesie remains neatly folded in one of my dresser drawers, where I plan to hold on to it forever. Everything's health food. And eat what I want. Tell myself it's healthy. Let the placebo effect do the rest. Your True Stories in 100 Words. How to cheer up mom. When I woke from my colonoscopy, I knew it was cancer. The doctor's grim face, along with that of my mom, who was trying hard to smile for me, confirmed it. There would be surgery and treatment later, but what could I do now? Groggy and weak, I gestured to my abdomen and then to my premature bald spot. Does this have anything to do with this? I asked the doctor. It was a running family joke. Few would get it, but mom did. She burst out laughing. That's how I won the next year. Find laughter, then fight it. Andrew Eller, Jr., Albany, New York. Morning gym routine. At breakfast, my sister Rose announced, I need clothes for gym. Dad just shook his head and kept on eating. This went on for several days. Finally, one morning, Rose said, Dad, I have to bring clothes for gym today. At that moment, Dad pushed his chair back, stood up, and said, Listen here, I don't know who this gym guy is, and I feel bad for him, but I got 5 girls in this hair house, and I'm afraid Jim is not going to have to get his own darn clothes. You lucky dog. The lucky dog. The Vidaga slot machines clanged nearby as we sat with 20 strangers, linked only by our mutual interest in gambling. When others passed around their children's pictures, my husband proudly shared a photo of Amy, our golden retriever, who is part-time therapy dog. One woman did a double take. What a small world, she said. I don't recognize you, but I could never forget Amy. She helped my son when he was a patient at Tampa Shriners Hospital for Children several years ago. As I appreciated Amy's far-reaching impact, I felt a thrilling tingle. Jackpot. Laughter, the best medicine. And there's two guys sitting in a bar. One's looking at the other one. I'm old school. Instead of ranting on social media, I just scream in people's faces. An Uber is cruising down a boulevard when it runs a red light. Hey, the passenger shouts, be careful. Don't worry, says the driver. My brother does it all the time. He barrels through the next red light, and the passenger screams, stop doing that. I'm telling you, my brother does this all the time. They approach the next light just when it turns green. The driver slams on the brakes. The confused passenger asks, you just ran 2 red lights. Why'd you stop at a green? I had to, says the driver. My brother might have been coming. He died doing what he loved, typing his symptoms into WebMD instead of going to the doctor. I saw a documentary on how ships are kept together. Riveting. Oh, that's terrible. I told you, I'll be there in 4 minutes. Stop calling me every half hour. If you can sit quietly over difficult news, if financial downturns you remain perfectly calm, if you can see your neighbors travel to fantastic places without a twinge of jealousy, if you can eat happily, whatever is it put in your plate, if you can fall asleep after a day of running around without a drink or a pill, if you run always find contentment where you are, you are probably a dog. Let's make vaccinations less fun. Hotels put that scales in the bathroom. I'm sorry, let's make vacations less fun. Hotels that put scales in the bathroom. Dear, if you make the toast, I'd pour the juice, said the newlywed bride. Breakfast will be ready. Good. What are we having for breakfast? Asked the new husband. Toast and juice, she replied. Period shows from Middle Ages and the Renaissance are big on Netflix, HBO, and Amazon. Medici and the Last Kingdom, to name a couple. There's a list of obscure characters you'll find way down in the credits. The knight who was afraid to fight, surrender. The undercover knight, surveillance. The knight who always guessed right, surmiser. The knight who showed up unexpectedly, surprise. The knight who drank too much, cirrhosis. The dancing knight, Sir Prancelot. The loudest knight of all, Sir Roundabout. The foul-mouthed knight, Sir Cuss. Here's to Dad. Doc, your dad has been in a coma for 9 days. We're running out of ideas. Me, let me try. Goes to adjust the thermostat. Dad opens one eye. Why is it called a dad bod and not a father figure? Scene. A race. The gun goes off and every runner pretends to be wounded, then laughs and starts the race. And the annual Dad 5K is underway. A few weeks ago, my dad decided he was going to order pizza from his iPad. He's almost finished. And with that, we'll switch over to consumer reports. CR Smart Solutions, get rid of ants. They have an odorous house ant described here, about an inch long. The common species often rests outside under timbers, mulch, or stone, but tends to summon your house when seeking alternative food sources. Nobody likes an uninvited house guest, especially hundreds of them. Unfortunately, by the time you start spotting a few ants, you may already have a colony, says Jody Gangeloff Hoffman, an entomologist at the New York State Integrated Pet Management Program at Cornell University. Boy, that's a mouthful. Excuse me. But don't reach for the spray, says CR senior scientist Michael Hansen, Ph.D., a biologist and ecologist, because they can effective or wear off. And some insect barrier sprays may contain chemicals harmful to humans. However, you can still prevent ants from marching into your home with these practical tips. Seal up sugars. Keep food in airtight containers and quickly clean up spills like honey, maple syrup, and soda. House ants feed on sugar and protein. Generally, a colony will send a few ants to scout. They'll bring a sample of any food they find in the colony, and many others will follow them back to their house, says Ginkle Kaufman. In my experience, they gravitate towards sugary liquids. Out, damp spot. Both ant types listed above, and that's the ones I mentioned here, tend to build satellite colonies in your home. That means showers, windows, and all the basement are all the places to watch. Carpenter ants will tunnel through any wood that has been damaged by water, so it pays to fix leaks quickly. The other type of ant that they were talking about is carpenter ant, and they're about a half an inch long. Carpenter ants tunnel through rotten or damp wood, potentially damaging windows, doors, or even structural framing in the process, though the harm to your home is nowhere near what termites can do. Set ant baits. This can be a very effective method for controlling an ant infestation, though you may need to try a few brands of baits until you find one that works. Not only will it kill ants that feed on the bait liquid, but scouts will bring bait back to the other worker ants and larvae in the colony, which helps control the population. Wipe off houseplants. Indoor houseplants, particularly tropical varieties, are very appealing to ants. Scale insects or aphids that live or feed on plants excrete a clear, sweet honeydew that ants like. Wipe leaves clean to help eliminate this food source, and consider placing insect control plant spikes in the soil. Still confused by what's really in your toothpaste? If you've been concerned about your toothpaste having triclosan, an antibacterial that helps prevent gingivitis, the good news is that it's essentially gone from the market, though it's still technically permitted. Its removal is probably due to widespread circulation of research suggesting that triclosan may disrupt some thyroid hormones' immunity and contribute to antibiotic resistance. Overall, says Tunde Akane, a chemist in CR's Food Safety Division, triclosan was banned from hand soaps and body washes in 2017. Until a few months ago, Colgate Total was still including the ingredient, but has now been updated to a triclosan-free formula, renamed Colgate Total SF. That's good news for consumers, Kinky says, because triclosan is just not worth the risk. So if you have a tube of the old formula in your bathroom, we suggest tossing it. Wondering what else may be in your toothpaste? Here are a few words worth paying attention to. The ADA Seal of Acceptance. A toothpaste bearing this seal from the American Dental Association must be safe and effective at whatever its label claims. It also must contain fluoride, have no ingredients that cause or contribute to decay, and must not harm teeth. Abrasives. Calcium carbonate and modified silica help remove food debris and surface stains. Baking soda. Toothpaste with baking soda, sodium bicarbonate, shows some promise for reducing plaque and may slightly decrease gum bleeding with gingivitis compared with toothpaste that doesn't have it. Desensitizers. Use regular ingredients such as sodium chlorate, casein photocopiedia, and potassium nitrate may help relieve uncomfortable sensitivity. They are effective in some people and not in others, says Richard Dieterman, DMD, professor of the NYU College of Dentistry. Fluoride. This active ingredient comes in several different forms, including sodium fluoride and stannous fluoride, and helps protect teeth from decay. Fluoride is effective at reducing cavities by 20 to 30%, Niederman says. Stannous fluoride may also help with sensitivity and gum inflammation. You can buy fluoride-free toothpaste, but it probably won't help reduce cavities. Sodium lauryl sulfate, SLS. SLS is called a detergent, but it has little cleaning power. Instead, it creates foam to help circulate the toothpaste into the nooks and crannies. Some people may get canker sores or experience peeling in the mouth tissue in as little as one use. If you're among them, look for SLS-free or non-foaming toothpaste. Whiteners. Basic whiteners include hydrogen peroxide, which chemically lightens teeth, and polyphosphates and sodium. This is a small world. It's like 28 letters. Hexametaphosphate, said to help with enamel staining, but some experts say these aren't concentrated enough or in contact with both tooth surfaces long enough to make a noticeable difference. And polysulfates may cause mouth irritations. Xylitol. Some small studies suggest that toothpaste with both fluoride and xylitol may be better at cavity preventing than a fluoride-only product. But experts say that even brushing several times a day is unlikely to deliver enough xylitol to provide a benefit. Food Sleuth, a healthier trail mix. And what's interesting, and I'm looking at this at the pictures of these trail mix, and I realize I just had a bag of one of these things yesterday at the movie theater. Trail mix evokes Trail mix evokes images of buff people hiking on spectacular wooded trails. But some companies have been crowding their nutrient-dense ingredients with indulgences such as yogurt-coated raisins and candy-coated chocolates. Tasty though they are, they displace healthier ingredients and don't all valuable nutrients. Yogurt coating, for example, can have hydrogenated oils and added sugars, thing you want to avoid, says Amy Keating, a registered dietitian at CR. And while yogurt itself packs bone-building calcium and gut-healthy probiotics, a hint of powdered yogurt on coated raisins unlikely to contain much of either. To keep your mix maximized for healthiness, look for the ingredients list of fruits and nuts or seeds. Our suggestions below have a serving a size of 1/4 cup, except for the planter's mix, which is 3 tablespoons. And here are the 4 they list. Enjoy Life Seed and Fruit Mix, Mountain Mambo. 130 calories, 8 grams of sugar, and 25 grams of sodium. Contains sunflower and pumpkin seeds, raisins, sweetened dried cranberries, chocolate chips, and dried apples. Nutrition notes. Modest amounts of dark and even milk chocolate may have some health benefits, so a small amount is okay. No sodium. Backs to Nature Harvest Blend. Calories are 160, sugar 7 grams, sodium 9 grams. 0 grams. Contains raisins, almonds, pumpkin seeds, kernels, sunflower seed kernels, dried apricots, pecans, and sunflower oil. Nutrition notes. A good choice if you want to cut back on sodium. This blend also has no added sugar but promises a zesty flavor. Low in sugar. Trader Joe's Go Raw Trail Mix. And I had some of that yesterday. It's pretty good. Calories 150, sugars 5 grams, sodium 5 grams. Contains raisins, cashews, walnuts, almonds, and filberts. Nutrition notes, a winner for its simple ingredients with a good amount of protein and without added sugar or salt. Also available in 1.5-ounce pre-portioned products for on-the-go snacking. And sweet and salty, Planner's Nutrition Omega-3 Mix. Calories 160, sugars 6 grams, sodium 25 grams. Contains cashews, walnuts, raisins, dried apple pieces with sugar and cinnamon, peanut oil, sea salt, high-click sunflower oil. Nutrition notes. The apple, cinnamon, and raisin flavors may help satisfy a sweet tooth while still being relatively low in sugar. And now our usual list of recalls. Subaru vehicles. Subaru is recalling 1,303,530 vehicles because the brake light switch could malfunction, preventing the light from turning on properly. It may also prevent keyless ignition vehicles from starting and CVT automatic transmissions from being able to be shifted out of park. Models included in the recall are certain 2014 to 2016 Forester SUVs, 2008 to 2016 Impreza sedans, 2012-2016 Impreza station wagons, and 2008-2014 WRX sedans, including S71. What to do? Dealers will replace the brake light switch free of charge. Call Subaru at 844-373-6614 for more details. The number for the recall is WE90. Rechargeable flashlights. Harbor Freight Tolls is recalling about 500,000 80 lumen 12-volt rechargeable flashlights because they can overheat while charging and pose a burning hazard. The flashlights were sold at Harbor Freight Tools stores from August 2018 through January 2018 for $2 to $4. What to do? Stop using the flashlight and return it to any Harbor Freight Tools store in exchange for a $5 Harbor Freight Tools gift card. Call Harbor Freight Tools at 800-444-3353 or go to harborfreight.com for more details. Portable generators. American Honda is recalling about 200,000 portable generators because they can leak gasoline from a fuel valve and pose a fire and burn hazard. The generators were sold at Honda Power and Equipment dealers and home improvement stores and online from February 2018 through February 2019 for about $1,100 to $1,300. What to do? Stop using the generator and contact an authorized Honda Power Equipment service dealer to schedule a free repair. Call American Honda at 888-888-3139 or go to powerequipment.honda.com for model details. Propane torches. Harbor Freight, boy, they're in trouble. Harbor Freight is recalling about 150,000 Greenwood-branded propane torches because the trigger that engages the flames, the print is really bad here. It's like they ran out of ink. The trigger that engages the flame can fail to disengage when the trigger is no longer pressed, posing a burn hazard. The torches were sold at Harbor Freight Tools stores and website from November 2013 to October 2018 for $20 to $30. What to do? Stop using the torch and return it to any Harbor Freight Tools store for a free replacement torch. Call Harbor Freight Tools at 800-444-3353. Or go to harborfreight.com for further details. Lithium-ion batteries. HP is expanding a recall of lithium batteries for HP commercial notebook computers and mobile workstations because the batteries can overheat and pose fire and burn hazards. The recall includes about 78,000 batteries, in addition to 50,000 already recalled in January 2018. The batteries were found in computers sold at HP and authorized dealers and online from December 2015 through April 2018 for $300 to $4,000 and were also sold separately between December 2015 and December 2018 for $50 to $90. Boy, that's a big spread there. What to do? Go to hp.com/go/battery program 2018 to see whether your battery is included in the recall. And if it is, get instructions on how to enable battery safety mode. The batteries are not customer replaceable, and HP is offering free battery replacement service to consumers. Call HP at 866-671-7362 for more details. Anesthetic cream. Chemical Research Laboratory is recalling about 26,500 packages of its Num 100 topical anesthetic cream, because the packaging is not child-resistant as required by the Poison Prevention Packaging Act. The cream contains lidocaine, which poses a risk of poisoning to young children if they put it on their skin or ingest it. The cream was sold at health and beauty stores and online from May 2017 through November 2018 for about $18. What to do? Put the cream out of reach of children. Call Clinical Resolution Laboratory at 877-566-9687 for details and to get a full refund or a free replacement cream or child resistant cap. Anesthetic gel. BioTouch is recalling about 8,500 packages of EZY gel topical anesthetic because the package is not child resistant as required by the Poison Prevention Packaging Act. The gel contains lidocaine, which causes a risk of poisoning to young children. The gel was sold at BioTouch and other stores and comes online from August 2013 through August 2018 for about $60. What to do? Put the gel out of reach of children. Call BioTouch at 844-577-9023 or go to biotech.com for details on how to get a full refund. Saute pans. HEB is recalling 12,000 kitchen and table 5.5 quart saute pans with glass lid because the lid can crack and shatter during normal use and pose a risk of laceration. The pans were sold at HEB stores in Texas and at HEB.com from May 2018 through January 2019 for about $30. What to do? Stop using the pan? Call HEB at 855-432-4438. Or go to HEB.com for details and instructions on how to return it for a full refund. And this next article ought to be kind of interesting. It's a product update, and it's about air conditioning, considering the kind of weather we've been having in the last couple months. And there's an interesting graph here. It says how much of your home energy is spent on air conditioning. And the vast majority of the country spends about 5% covering their cold, the warm weather. And the 2% on the West Coast, the maritime climate, uses air conditioning. That's how much of their income. And the Southwest, about 17% of hot, dry, or mixed dry heat is covered by air conditioning. And the upper north, the Midwest from North Carolina, from North Carolina north and west, 12% of humidity. And that's mostly because of the mountains and such. And our beautiful state, along with Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, is 27% for the hot, humid weather. How to beat the heat. In search of better air conditioning, don't sweat. Our expert testing advice will help you chill out on the hottest summer days without overspending. And there's a picture here of a young man lifting a window air conditioner onto a cart. And it's Chris Grayson, a senior product engineer, moves on LG window AC into CR's climate-controlled area. So they actually have a testing area that's climate-controlled. Few things can suck the fun out of summer faster than a weak or fickle air conditioner, except perhaps a broken one. Whether it's central air conditioning or a window unit, we all want air conditioning that cools quickly, runs quietly, and soldiers on when we need it most. If you find a dependable cooling system, we put 22 window and portable air conditioning units through rigorous testing in our lab, starting with a simulated heat wave. In a climate-controlled chamber, we cranked up the temperature to 90 degrees Fahrenheit, then measured how long it took a window AC to lower the temperature by 10 degrees and a portable unit by 5 degrees. We checked their thermostat actuary by setting window units at 75 degrees Fahrenheit and portables at 80 degrees Fahrenheit. Then we gauged how noisy the units are and how well they operate and recover during brownout and blackout conditions when voltage is low or power is off. But we didn't stop our evaluation there. We also factored in predicted reliability and owner satisfaction ratings from our latest annual member survey of the owners of 6,729 room air conditioners. To calculate a brand's predicted reliability, we ask our members about products they own and use the data to make projections about how those new models from a given brand would hold up over time. We also ask how likely members were to recommend their air conditioner, and they transferred their answers into a smarter satisfaction rating. We wrapped up all of the testing and survey information with the overall scores, and we'll look at those at the end. The results yielded a cool surprise. Every brand of window AC in our survey earns an excellent rating for reliability. That makes them one of the most reliable products we test. Portable units also proved to be reliable, although some brands did fare quite as well. Three of the seven brands earned an excellent for reliability. And then they have a category for each of the things, and they are best window units for each category, 5,000 to 6,500 BTU, LG LW 6019. Got a 78, it's $270. And then we have the Kenmore Elite 77087, which is 7,000 to 8,500 BTU, $310, and that also got a 78. And then an 80 rating went to the SPT WA12F, $340, which is a 98 to 12,500 BTU. With so many dependable options to choose from, Start by looking for the products in our rating that match the square footage of the room you want to cool. Don't just go for the highest BTU you can find. A unit that's too powerful will cool your space too quickly without removing enough humidity, making the air feel clammy. Then consumers should take a closer look at the owner satisfaction ratings when considering which one to buy, says Simon Slater, CR's Associate Director of Survey Research. Of 9 window unit brands, only Friedrich earns a very good rating for satisfaction. 4 brands and 4 earns a score of fair. None rate poor. For portable units, most are reliable but not very well liked. Because the installation of central air conditioning differs from home to home based on floor plan, ductwork, and other factors, CR doesn't test these systems. Instead, we rate brands for reliability based on what our members tell us about the system they purchased and had installed over the past decade. Our central air reliability ratings included 21 national brands. If you haven't shopped a new air conditioner in a while, you'll be happy to know that the newer models, both room and central, come with features that add convenience and save energy. More window units are Wi-Fi compatible, allowing you to control them remotely from your smartphone. And by taking advantage of these smart features, you can enroll in utility programs designed to save money and energy. And no matter how cool your home when it's hot, we've got simple maintenance tips to keep your system in top condition all year long. TLC for your AC. Dirt is the enemy of an efficient unit. If you keep it clean and maintain it year-round, you'll be rewarded with steady cooling for years and lower utility bills. Window and portable air conditioners. Spring. If you removed an air conditioner from a window last year, reinstall it following your owner's manual. If you left it in place, expect the window seals around to make sure air isn't passing through. If you notice leaks, reseal around the unit with weather stripping. Summer. Take out the filter at least once a month, vacuum it with an upholstery brush, then wash it using a mild solution of dishwashing liquid and warm water. Let it dry before putting it back. Fall. Window units are built to withstand considerable weather, so you don't need to remove them from windows if it's a hardship. But doing so will extend the life of the product, says Tom Kelly, Senior Product Manager at GE Appliances. Whichever option you choose, make sure you clean the filter and one more time before shutting down the AC for the season. If you leave it in place, you can prevent cold air from wafting into your home by covering the indoor side with a plastic or cloth covers, sold online for about $10 to $20. Make sure the side panels are also properly insulated. Portable air conditioners require an extra step. Drain the internal water tank before storing the unit. Spring. Now is the best time to service your system. If it's part of a central heating system, have it serviced again in the fall. Hire a licensed professional to change and clean any filters, clean and flush the coils, inspect the constant drain, and vacuum the blower compartments. The contractor should make sure that the system has the proper amount of refrigerant and that there are no leaks or mechanical problems. Summer. This is central air conditioning. Summer. When there's heavy use, check and possibly change filters at least once a month. Make sure that shrubs and tree branches don't encroach on the outdoor condenser, which will affect the unit's efficiency. Keep vegetation at least 2 feet away. Fall. Wondering whether your outside unit should be covered in the off-season? Usually, according to Stuart Understarter, president of Central Heating and Air Conditioning in Cleveland, it's built to withstand the rain and snow. In fact, covering the unit traps moisture, which can lead to rust or mildew and provide a haven for rodents. But you can shield just the top of it in the spring and fall to prevent seedlings and leaves from dropping inside. Be sure to remove the shield before you use the unit again. Can your utility company help save you money? The next time you open up your electric bill, take time to read the notices stuffed in the envelope. It may save you money if you're willing to be flexible on your air conditioning preferences. Utilities across the U.S. are offering incentives in exchange for the ability to adjust the temperature in your home during times of peak tower demand. The various programs with such names as Cool Points, Peak Rewards, and Smart Therm, and Bring Your Own Thermostat, BYOT, offer benefits that include free thermostats and rebates or credits on your bill if you use less energy when there's high demand. Collectively called demand response, These programs are designed to reduce stress on your local electrical grid during the shortest times of the day by encouraging consumers to use less energy or to shift energy-intensive tasks to times when demand and rates are lower, often at night. A hallmark of most programs is that they require you to register a smart thermostat or smart AC with the utility, essentially giving it permission to take control of your air conditioning system on very hot days. This can mean turning your AC off for a short time, but more typically it means adjusting the temperature upward. If you enroll in the program when the grid is under stress or can bump the temperature in your house from, say, 68 degrees to 71 degrees, says Shira Horowitz, manager of demand response for Con Ed in New York. And when you use less energy, you save. In addition to savings you see on your bill, some utilities offer extra financial incentives for enrolling in demand response program. With Con Edison's BYOT program, for example, you get a one-time sign-up bonus of $135, $85 for enrolling your thermostat, and a $50 energy efficiency rebate. The company says that 25,000 of its customers have enrolled a total of 34,000 thermostats. Before the advent of smart thermostats, taking advantage of these programs was more difficult because utilities often had to go into homes to install demand response switches. But now most utilities allow people to enroll on company websites if they have a compatible smart thermostat, such as the Nest or Lyric. The idea that consumers can use their own thermostats has helped increase participation, says Jesse Meerhoff, a research analyst at Nuvigant Research, which studies the energy sector. Worried that you'll be sweating it out if you sign up? Joining may be less of an inconvenience than you'd imagine. Last year, Con Edison adjusted home aircraft AC temperatures during four peak power periods in events in New York. Plus, if a utility nudges your temperature up at a time when you'd rather have it cooler, you have the option to manually change it back to your desired temperature, Meerhoff says. There's no penalty. You just won't see savings for that typical fan's response request. And we found with that, we found we've just about run out of time for today's broadcast of the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. We would like to thank all of our past sponsors for their generous contributions to the reading service. If you have any comments or questions or would like to be a sponsor, please call us at 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. So long until next time, and thanks so much for listening.